Good evening and welcome to As the Worm Turns. You are tuned in to KVNF's live call-in gardening show. I'm your host, Jill Spears, and I'm here with, yes, our favorite gardeners and worms, Lulu Lance. Good evening.
Hi, everybody.
Good evening.
Hi to all of our worm listeners out there. Appreciate you tuning in. And here are the numbers, 527-486-81866, KVNF now. And you can email worm at kvnf.org. Where to start?
Yeah.
Somebody start for me.
Somebody start something.
Yes.
Hey, you know how you say KVNF now in regular numbers? I see it on the wall over there.
You do it, please.
586-3669.
Okay.
And now you know, don't have to spell it.
Right, because phones don't work the same as they used to. I don't even think they have those numbers on.
Yeah, they do.
No,
don't they?
I don't think they do, doll.
Not
Not on the keypad. Oh yeah, they do. Oh, they do. Sure. Thank you. Something's
Man,
still old-fashioned.
I was worried.
Okay, ring us up and tell us what's going
don't
on.
Don't wait till the end, you guys, for God's sake.
For
sakes.
Goodness sakes.
At the end of the show last week, Anthony, the caller, brought up thinning fruit.
Yeah, he's got that Jonathan apple, which last year only had one apple.
The lone apple. Right.
But anyways, thinning fruit does several things. One is you get larger fruit.
Okay.
And the other thing that it's doing is wherever fruit touched, that's usually where the bugs go in. So it's a bug control thing.
Okay.
And it's also, if you do not thin, you will not, no matter what, have a crop next year. Because all the energy is ripening fruit and not making fruiting spurs for next year. So you thin lightly enough so that it still has some room to, or energy to make fruiting spurs for next year.
Spread that out. Spread the energy out.
And you know, but then there's always that June drop, too.
June drop, yeah.
Yeah, this year it's going to be a May drop. It's so early.
Oh, it is early, right?
My stuff's already dropping.
Yeah,
no,
mine is
kidding.
Too. Yeah, mine is too. Yeah. My pears are coming off. The apples, no. But the pears are coming off.
Pears. Wow. I don't see it so much on peaches, but the plums are dropping some.
Oh, I don't have any plums formed. Yeah. I mean, they're formed, but they're not dropping.
Yeah, some of my plums are. And I never thin plums or apricots anyways.
Right.
So I just let them do their thing.
Right.
So, but the peaches I'll have to thin, and pears I'll have to thin. And you can go out there if you have a pear and apple. Maybe your apple trees aren't ready, but you can go and touch some of the smaller fruit on a pear. They just fall right off.
They fall right off. That's a great way to decide how to do it, too.
Yeah.
You know,
just
touch
involved,
them,
right?
And they fall off. I mean, it's kind of like when they're ripe. If you touch them and they fall off in your hand, they're ready.
They're ready to eat.
Yeah.
So once the May or June drop happens, that's when you should start to look at
Yeah, and there's
thinning.
A certain size, and I'm sorry to say I don't know this, especially on apples.
Make it up.
I think it's about marble size, okay? Marble size are a little bit bigger. If you haven't done it by then, it's not going to make the fruiting spurs as many as for next year.
Right.
So you have to, there's this period of time.
You know what's really interesting on Little Mama? The one side of the tree is bone dead and the other side is thriving.
I love that. I love when that happens.
I just can't get over it. I'm going, okay, amazing. What happened?
Mm-hmm.
You know? What happened? What's going on? And then in some of my...
Hanging on to life.
Yeah. It's more than that. I mean, it's like right down the middle, you know? So the other thing I noticed is on my pear tree way up high, the one that I thought was going to pass away because it was so anemic and... Well, it wasn't anemic. Yeah, it was. It needed iron. But it was yellow, not... Anyway, it's got... like aphids and wilty stuff on the top. I'm going to get up there with a big ladder and cut it out.
Mm-hmm.
It's not fire blight. How could it possibly be fire blight? There hasn't been a drop of moisture. So it's
Which
not that.
Which causes or helps
Yeah, because fire blight's a fungus. It usually
it's a fungus,
comes,
but it gets spread. If there's an infected tree and it's blooming, and the bees get it and go to another tree. That's how far, one of the ways fire blight gets spread.
Oh, bees can.
It's from the bees pollinating.
Well, I'm going to have a big time. I'm going to go out and whack it all. Yeah. You know how I love
sounds
to whack
sounds like your kind of project,
it.
Actually.
Yeah, I can't wait. Yeah. I can't wait. Yeah.
All guns blazing up
yeah.
there.
Yeah. Yeah, both yeah. barrels going. I'm yeah. gonna.
And you've been working on projects, and you still are. I mean,
yeah, I still am. Like I'm getting the big beds ready to go. I'm waiting for the lamb's quarter to get big enough to harvest.
Oh, okay.
Do you want to talk about the lamb's quarter and tomatoes?
Oh, I just had
we could segue in.
Yeah, a friend sure. over, and he had made an observation in his yard that the lamb's quarter, where was that leafy top? Leaf curl and tomatoes?
Yeah, we'll just call it leaf curl. When it curls at the top.
And it's very from the sugar beet leaf hopper. And anyways, he noticed that the lamb's quarter was having the same disease as the tomatoes. And he thinks that the lamb's quarter is the original host of the sugar beet leaf hopper.
Patient zero, huh?
Yeah.
Well, that would make sense because it's there.
It's there.
You know, it's out. But tomatoes aren't going to be going for a while.
No.
So there's the lamb's quarter mm-hmm. willing and ready.
Mm-hmm.
And we were talking also earlier about how the reddish-tinged lamb's quarter is not as edible mm-hmm. as the broader-leafed, smooth-leafed, greener
yeah.
lamb's quarter. And that's something you should be aware of. I don't know how sick it would make you, but who wants to be any type of sick?
Well, I don't know how sick it is, but it definitely doesn't taste as good.
It definitely doesn't
right,
taste
right.
as good.
And the green lamb's quarter, you just want to keep eating and
oh
clean right
God,
up.
Yeah, mm-hmm. really. Yep.
And that's why you're waiting to harvest.
And that's why I'm waiting. Yeah, mm-hmm. I'm waiting for it to get bigger. But now I've noticed that it's everywhere all over the yard, so I'm kind of stupid to wait. But.
Well, you freeze that, don't you?
Yeah.
You actually use that.
Yeah, and then I had a pan on the stove, and I forgot about it a little bit. And I was going to eat it for breakfast the other morning, and I looked, and I went, oh, it's fine. And then I looked again and went, no.
Oh, well,
look,
it happens to all of us.
Look, it does.
It's a
thank
science
goodness it wasn't
experiment.
Boiling eggs.
Yeah, really.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Science experiment.
But anyway, that's a, you know, if you've got the stuff that's got the little bit of red tinge in it, don't eat it. It's
don't
not
it.
Good for you.
And might be more susceptible to the curly bug.
Yeah, because mm-hmm. that was what Larry was saying,
yeah.
right? Yeah. So there you have it.
All right.
5-2
in a nutshell. You're driving me nuts. 527-4868 1-866 KVNF now. Okay. Everything's coming up, so how about talking about thinning and weeding?
Oh, thinning. Yeah, that's an ongoing project in the garden.
Forever.
I thinned the next second planting of lettuce. With spinach, and I thinned Finocchio, bulb fennel, and I also had some fennel for growing for seed that got thinned. But I weed first and then thin, because if you thin first and then go to weed, you might pull a weed that pulls out the plant you left. So
sure.
So it's much better to weed first and then come back and thin. And my onions, I was going to start thinning the onions. I like to wait a little bit bigger, because I actually go in with a knife and cut them off underground.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
They don't pull as easy as carrots. And so
if
you pull them, you might pull five of them out.
Mm.
And that's not, so I actually go in with
this. Because they have those spready outy roots.
Yeah.
That's
so I
why.
Actually go in and dig a little bit. So, and they're not quite big enough, but the whole bed's weeded.
Wow. That's a big bed to
to
weed like that.
Yeah, it's.
Does that take you a whole day? I mean, how big is that?
The
bed?
Weed it.
Uh huh.
Actually, wasn't too bad weeding it, but to thin it, it's going to take me several days.
Oh,
it's
wow.
Five rows, 50 feet long.
The Santa.
Actually,
do you have one of those little
Santa
things?
Santa onion.
Santa Maria. Do you have one of those things you sit on? Because my back kills me when I
no.
do that, or my neck, really.
I actually put a burlap tarp on the ground. And
oh,
kneel.
Good idea. Yeah.
Kneel. The ground gets pretty hard in there in the pathways.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good idea. Or those little things you use when you're laying.
There's the knee pads. You know what? Since I'm always in shorts, my legs, my knees just sweat on those.
Yeah, they pinch me because they don't fit me right because I'm too tiny.
Yeah.
So I don't use those either. But I mean, somebody could maybe.
Yeah.
So
knee pads or the kneeling, rectangle kneeling pads. Those they all work.
Yeah.
And I just take. I have these burlap tarps that I get. They're 7x7. And they last for about 3 years, and then they start getting threadbare. And I fold one of those old ones up, and that's my knee pad.
There you go.
And then it goes into the compost at the end of the season.
Don't you love
nice.
That?
Yes, I do love that.
I love that. Okay, remind me to say something about the plastic. But in the meantime, I'm going to say I weeded my garlic.
And
Let's talk about garlic.
Yeah, garlic. Oh, the garlic. My garlic is spectacular.
Really?
Yeah, and I dug up a couple of bunches of the... You know, self-seeded scapes. Oh, that's another thing that seeds itself all over my yard. Garlic.
You like that, though, don't you?
Yeah, I do.
You kind of take advantage of that.
Yeah, I do. I eat it. I mean, it's so great because as soon as I come home in April, there's something out there to eat, and it's the garlic.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, I weeded the garlic, and I thinned out a big patch of scapes, and they're all at the bulb stage.
Uh-huh.
Oh, I can't
probably
wait.
Really good.
I can't wait to eat.
Yeah.
I'm salivating as we're sitting here.
Nice.
And then what you said about the burlap and the plastic. I just got my National Geographic today in the mail, and they are changing their wrapping of the magazine from plastic to a paper wrapping.
Oh, great.
Wow. Yeah.
Good to hear.
And I just thought, God, what. You know, remember in the grocery store, do you want paper or plastic?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it was, you know, you had to be, you were more groovy if you asked for plastic because you were saving the trees. And I thought, God, we are so slow as a species with this. You know, I mean, give me a break. We could have been making all hemp bags, paper, you know, hemp paper bags. For decades.
Yeah.
But we had to go with the oil and the plastic, and now the oceans are so full of it
it's
you can't walk.
It's crazy
on.
How
you're
our
gonna
minds
be able
work.
To walk from LA to China, you know?
Yeah.
Right.
Because it's just gonna be full of. Don't buy any more plastic.
Yeah.
That's it. Go on strike.
Mm-hmm. All right.
That's
I'm on
my,
strike.
That's my story.
I think,
that's
I
my
think
plug.
We're all I think we're all on that page, getting there.
Yeah,
so.
We're getting there slowly but surely. You know, you can make more paper out of an acre of hemp than you can out of an acre of trees.
Go hemp.
And you can make it over and over and over again.
And then you put it in the compost and
right.
Start again.
There you go, that whole
it's
cycle.
Beautiful thing.
Like
give
it.
Us a call, you guys. We are just out. We're here. We're looking at each other. We got nothing to do.
Oh, we got plenty to talk about. Just got to get focused here. 527-4868-1866-KVNF now. Hey, can I ask about bugs? Because they're all coming out. Crazy little critters.
Mm-hmm.
And how about ants? Recipe for ants, getting ants out of the garden. You said earlier you need to know what kind of ant it is.
Yeah, yeah. Another just idea. You have to know what kind of ant it is. So boric acid is this
a standard
thing. And some, if it's a sugar ant, you have to mix it with a sweetener. Otherwise, they're not going to touch it.
Right.
Okay.
And then there's the malto meal ants.
Yeah.
Some ants like malto meal, and you won't get rid of them that summer. But they'll take the malto meal into their little nests, and they'll eat it in the winter and die.
Yeah. You know, bone meal repels them. Tansy repels them. But I think I wouldn't put a tansy plant. I would tansy leaves, dry it, and put it on there.
Yeah, be careful.
Oh, but
right.
I just
aggressive is what you call it.
This is another one. And this is if you're really hardcore. Start boiling pots of water
on the stove.
And then when they're boiling, go stir up the nest so the ants are going all over the place and pour that boiling water on them.
Sounds like something Lulu would like.
No, I love that.
Right.
And you'll
but
have to
you
do
have
it.
To have, you have to have the right location. You know, you obviously you can't, you know, if they're up in a tree somewhere, you can't get at them that way.
Yeah.
But if you've got a spot where you can do that, man, does that work.
Yeah, and you might have to do it three times.
Two or three times, yeah.
Yeah, and every time you got to stir the nest up.
Yeah.
Okay. More.
Yeah, because they take all their little larvae and they rescue a few of them, yeah. And then they
sure,
start
they
again.
Go
so
yeah.
You just
got to
keep
mode.
Doing it.
Diatomaceous earth will slow them down.
That's just good to have on hand, isn't
yeah,
it, diatomaceous
yeah.
earth?
Cayenne pepper.
Yeah,
I got
cayenne pepper.
Cayenne
tell me about
pepper.
That.
Man, I got rid of them. I had them so bad in my front walkway, but now I'm really going to get rid of them because Ski came over today and I said, okay, we're going to pave this. And he said, yes, so it's going to be all paved and then they're not going to have a place to go between the rocks. But I actually don't mind ants except when they're in the wrong place. But yeah, cayenne pepper. I used cayenne pepper one year on those ants in the walkway and boy, did it work.
Nice. You just sprinkled it out there.
Yeah. I mm-hmm. Well, you know, it's cheap, so I got...
Giant.
Yeah. You know, if a little's good, more is way good,
achoo!
Right? So
right.
I was slamming it in there. It worked.
And
cayenne
Lance,
pepper.
Cayenne pepper for you for squirrels? Is that
if
one of your...
I have a squirrel that's hard to trap. I will... and it's eating my lettuce. That's usually what they... And you can tell a squirrel... It doesn't eat the outside leaves. Of course, right now the lettuce is small. But if you have a full head, the whole inside is eaten and the outside leaves are
fabulous.
Still, yeah.
Oh, uh-huh.
Yeah. And, but anyways, I put cayenne pepper on it and they don't like it.
All
and
right.
I don't know if it's their tongue, their eyes, the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
But
who knows?
Yeah.
I had a cabbage worm and I it blew me away because it was on the collard greens
oh,
that
wow.
overwintered.
Yeah.
And I thought, I haven't even seen any of the little butterflies. And,
I've seen
you know,
oh, yeah, I've seen the butterflies.
Yeah.
See,
mm-hmm.
I haven't had a lot of them. I swear to God, I don't know what's going on in my garden this year, but it's
everything's
flat.
Different.
Everything's
for sure.
different. You
yeah.
know? So I haven't really seen too many butterflies, but I had a bunch of wasps. They were all getting ready to settle in, and then they kind of went away. I don't
so
blame
did mine.
Them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There was
mm-hmm.
nothing to eat, so they split. I don't mm-hmm. know where they, you know, they're out of there.
Hey, it's Kenny from Ridgeway on the line. Good evening, Kenny.
Hi, guys.
Hi.
Hey, we have planted some chard, and we already have leaf miners.
Uh-huh.
What? How do you get rid of them?
it's spinosad. It comes in the Monterey Garden Insect Spray.
Right.
Okay, and you would spray it on. It's those little white eggs on the underside of the leaves.
Exactly.
Yeah. And it's a fly.
Is that safe for bees?
Yes.
No.
Well, is it? Okay,
yeah.
I thought it
Let's
was.
Let's talk about
Go
that.
Ahead.
I didn't think it was.
Okay.
Or don't we have to be careful and do it after the bees have gone to sleep at night?
That's the grasshopper mix.
Oh, that's that spinosad.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. It might be. If you're worried about the bees, spray it in the evening.
Mm-hmm.
And
uh-huh.
I just sprayed it this morning. And but, of course, I don't have any flowering things right there where
right.
I sprayed
yeah,
it.
Yeah, we do. Things are
in the garden.
Flowery down here.
The other thing you can do is get some row cover.
Yeah.
And actually put row cover over because it's the fly. That is the adult. And just put a netting over it. This Remade is a trademark, but any type of row cover, the thinner stuff.
The real thin stuff that lets all the light through. And the thing is,
okay.
Make sure you get, go. How big is your patch?
Oh, it's small. We're yeah. just things
Perfect.
Are just coming up.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Then go in there and make sure you get all the leaves that have started to look like they might even think
yeah,
about having a miner in them. Get those off.
And get the okay. eggs off.
And get the eggs off if you can.
Uh-huh.
They started coming in my sorrel already. And you,
yeah.
what you know, I really find it super successful to just, when I see them starting, I get the leaves off.
Yeah.
I pull the leaves. And then, you know, you whack that generation out of the park and then you get a few more and you pull those and it's not that hard to keep up with them.
Yeah, and just put that netting and then the flies can't get to it.
Right.
Okay.
You just have to make sure you don't catch any of them under the netting.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
All right, cool. Thank
All
you.
Right.
All right.
Good luck.
Thanks,
good
Kenny.
Luck.
Thanks for the question and for listening.
Yeah, thanks everybody for listening. We know you're out there.
I know. I love it.
Okay,
and
so
chard, what a great thing to grow. That is so tasty.
I've had it pretty last night for dinner, and I had it for breakfast this morning.
Yeah, I've seen the pictures of chard that Susie took of your chard.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, the
gorgeous.
Different colors.
Yeah,
yeah.
Chard.
Give me kale or collards any day.
Well, the kale's coming along.
Too.
Yeah. Kale's
mm-hmm.
coming great, mm-hmm. yeah. And you know what else I wanted to talk about was the Salsify is doing a fabulous job. Of exactly.
You and Salsify are just friends.
Me and Salsify.
The trap crop.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, there are aphids today. I was out there and, oh my goodness gracious, it was so fun.
Mm-hmm.
There were slimy black aphids all over the place.
Not anymore.
And not anymore. They all gone. So the Salsify is doing its job.
Your hawkweed is like that too.
Yeah, it's the same, almost the same plant.
But
hawkweed
yeah.
is like what? It's doing its job.
Well,
it's getting
kind of
the aphids. Mm-hmm.
It gets yeah. aphids, but it's more, it can survive dry much. Well, Salsify can be in dry, but too. But it,
yeah, but yeah. the hawkweed's really good at it.
Yeah.
It's a smaller, rougher version of Salsify.
And it has small yellow.
Yeah, they're, and they're always yellow, whereas with Salsify, you can get purple.
Yeah,
and then you take care of that by getting all rid of all the yellow ones, and then you only have purple in your garden, and it's so fabulous.
Yeah.
It's a really pretty color, too.
It
a
is.
A light, sort of a pinky purple. It's mm-hmm. pretty. It's gorgeous, actually.
Yeah.
It's, it's a lovely plant. And, they say it's edible. The roots are edible. I've never eaten it. Oyster root.
Yeah, oyster root.
Yeah, I've never eaten
Interesting.
It.
I think if I was going to eat it, I'd get the garden horticulture one. That's
Whoa.
Actually
oh,
not the
a
wild
one.
Not the wild one. The wild one is going to be woody.
Yeah, well, you know what my comment was when I heard that? What do you mean, tastes like an oyster? You just slurp an oyster, you don't chew it.
Who chomps on an oyster?
Yeah. Who chomps on an oyster?
Yeah,
you know.
I've never had one,
Slide
so I went
back.
No.
You just suck them down. It's great.
Mm-hmm. Okay, 527-4868-1866, KVNF Now. Lance, you've got some stuff that you just planted, and you're going to plant also this weekend.
Yeah, well, we'll plant corn and the blue corn mixed with sunflowers, and it's all ready. All measured out and ready to go, and the squash bed for the winter squash is ready to plant, and the nasturtiums that I planted earlier are about 4 to 6 inches tall. Nasturtiums are for the squash bugs. Not that I have many, but there's mm-hmm. always a few, so why not? And they're pretty, and they're good to eat, flowers and leaves, if you like that.
They make a really fabulous, if you ever wanted to make a Christmas present. You get those. You get those jars that are a bulb on the bottom. It used to be some sort of apple juice or something used to come in it, and Morelli's, Pastelli's, whatever. Anyway, and you put the nasturtium blossom in there and pour vinegar over it, and it preserves it.
Ooh.
And it's so pretty, and it flavors the vinegar,
makes
it peppery tasting. It's
lovely.
Nice.
Yeah, that's awesome.
It's fun.
Yeah. Let's see, what else am I going to plant? Anasazi beans and a couple other dry beans I haven't decided yet. I just have to sit and look which ones look the nicest and also look at the date on the jar.
Right, because you have all those varieties and trying to figure out what's older.
Yeah, and the thing is I've gotten down to what I really like to eat, that I really don't need to be saving all these varieties.
Right. Uh-huh.
You know, so like I have kidney beans. They're beautiful, but I haven't grown them for over 10 years. As I just don't need them.
Right.
Yeah. Right.
So
you
really fine-tuned it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
When you grow those jewel beans, the beans that have the really pretty pink flowers or orangey.
Oh, coral. You mean the scarlet runners.
Scarlet runners.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then you get the beans in the scarlet runners. They're so pretty.
Yeah, they're very pretty. And they're actually quite good to eat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So there's that. You know.
Your bean supply and seed supply really is gorgeous. It would make a beautiful mosaic.
Yeah. So we're having fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, we are. We're having a lot of fun. Everything is just so beautiful right now.
It is beautiful. And just,
irises are blooming.
The irises are fabulous.
Peonies are blooming. Mm-hmm. The Hesperus is blooming.
Larkspur.
What's that other one? Lupin is blooming in my yard. Oh, it's gorgeous.
It's gorgeous.
Poppies everywhere.
Poppies. Hey, what happened to your poppies and your onions? You had a mix-up.
I don't know. An addition, not a mix-up.
Okay, let's clarify that. Excuse moi.
Well, I noticed early on when the onions were first coming up that those had little poppy seedlings coming up. And they weren't just in the entire bed. They were right in the same row with the onions. So somewhere down the line, I mixed in some poppy seeds with the onion seeds, harvesting, cleaning awesome. Something. So here I am in the one variety. It's only in this one variety. It's not the other one. So it's not good. You know, so anyways.
Oh, well.
Nice. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, well.
Yeah. And addition.
Good mistake.
It happens.
Yeah.
Yeah. Happens to the best of us. Mm-hmm. I tell you what.
Yeah.
I picked up a little bowl in my seed stash and went, huh.
What could this be?
Oh, dear.
Yeah. Let's see what happens.
Yeah. Put them out there and see what happens. I think they're those little perennial sweet peas. I don't think they're the pretty sweet peas.
Oh,
but
okay.
They could be.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they could be.
You know, for me, not being as experienced gardeners as you are, it helps me to label things. And to keep notes.
Yeah, it's amazing how that works. Any minute now, it's going to happen.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. It's going to click right in.
The dry beans, I usually just label the year because I generally know what they are. But all the cucumber seeds, the melon seeds, the lettuce seeds.
Yeah.
The cabbage, all that stuff, you better have them labeled.
You better, yeah.
And dated, but yeah. You better have them labeled.
Yeah, right.
You know, I have 5 types of onions, so they're all labeled
and
dated.
Yeah, you have such a variety. That,
you know, so.
Okay, we have time for sure one more call, 527-4868-1866, KVNF now. Let's talk about watering at night versus the morning. We were talking about with Kenny.
That's my favorite
in Ridgeway,
topic.
The bees, and when to spray the spinosad, but let's talk about watering.
I always water at night.
Yeah, water at nights. You know, if it's a question, you water in the evening and night. You know, in a humid climate of back east or the northwest, you know, or something like that, you water in the morning. And it dries out because of the humidity brings in fungus and mildews and stuff like that. But here, that's not the case.
You don't have to worry about it. I water sometimes in the morning if I didn't get it the night before. And if mm-hmm. it looks particularly dry, mm-hmm. I'll water. Sometimes I even water in the middle of the day in the... If things aren't wilting,
yeah.
And it's, you know, water and they get all happy.
Yeah.
Sometimes you have to do what you have to do. Just
If it's not wilting and it just is burning hot, it's kind of nice to cool everything off a little bit. Mm-hmm. Cool the dirt off.
Because isn't that wilting phenomenon part of them protecting themselves?
Yeah. The wilting and the heat of the day is perfectly normal, and that's not a lack of water. If they're still wilted in the morning, they need water. But if they'll stand up, you know, once it cools
off, once the sun gets off them. And in my gardens, you know, that it's an east-west affair.
Yeah.
So in the morning, the west side is sunny and hot, and then in mm-hmm. you know, so sometimes I'll alternate where I'm watering. But.
Yeah. Well, I'm walking around the garden weeding and stuff, and I'm sticking my finger in the ground.
Oh, yeah.
I'm doing it all the time.
Right.
Yeah, me too. I never go by just what it looks like on top.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, except, it looks so dry.
And you know, like, or for instance, I mowed my lawn today, and I know it was a week since I've mowed it, so of course I watered, because mm-hmm. it was starting to get a little gray.
A little crispy.
And,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know, and so I do that, and then I time my sprinkler.
Uh huh.
So the big sprinklers, the automatic ones, are on a timer, and when I do the grass, I have my phone in my back pocket, and I set the timer, and you know, do that. Yeah. And it works. Pantsy. Works great. Mm-hmm. Well, the more organized you are about it.
Yes. The more organized you
are. The better off you are, because too much water isn't a good thing either.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, your dirt gets all hard. You wash all the micros out, and you wash all the particles out, and it turns
into clay real quick.
Yeah, it goes back to being clay real fast.
Yeah, so you've got to get the right system or the right.
Yes. Yeah, you gotta stick your
finger in the dirt.
Yeah, you got to figure it out. And if it's clay, you're going to know right away. You're going to break your finger.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, that ain't it.
You want to prevent that. So yeah. There's your indicator.
Oh, the truth. All right. Truth be known.
Yeah. The truth is out there. Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, wow. Did that go fast?
Yeah.
Thank you, Kenny, for your call tonight.
Yeah, and the rest of you slackers better get on it. Come on.
Thanks for listening.
Thank you for listening, really.
Yeah. It's Tara coming up with One Woman's Perspective next. Lance, Lulu, see you next week.
Yeah. Have a good evening.
Yeah.
Thanks. Good night, everybody.
Thanks for listening to As the Worm Turns on KVNF.
We love you. Bye-bye.
Mazda, which you can make both slow and faster. I don't know who you took a shine to, or who you're about to make a sign to. I got a gal that I love so, low, little low and low.